This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans. Presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
Hey, everybody, let's do this on a Monday, May the 24th, 2021. It's another edition of the Dairy Brothers Tribecast on WaitingForNextYear.com, brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornstein, and also BreakingTea.com/Dairy, the best t-shirts around for Browns, Cavs, and Indian stuff. Matt and Todd with you after what was a, let's be honest, Todd, a poor weekend of baseball. The Indians dropped 2 out of 3 to the Twins. No Buxton, no Cruz. I'm probably leaving some other guys out. Maeda got hurt the other day. And yet you lose 2 out of 3. Yesterday's loss was not good. Just poor fundamentals, poor defense, base running mistakes. The bullpen imploded, which they were due to do that. And now, still some easy games coming up with the unnamed team for 4 and also the Blue Jays this weekend, but time to play some better baseball. But we got a lot to discuss, Todd, because there's injuries. Owen Miller's here. Where do we start?
Well, I think we need to start with the biggest news of the week, which was Franmil Reyes, one of the few Cleveland baseball players who is actually hitting the ball. On Saturday, took a huge cut after he had homered earlier in the game, which is crazy, by the way, facing Kenta Maeda. He had faced him 4 times going into that at-bat and was four for four with 3 home runs, which is crazy this year, which is crazy. He took a big cut and immediately grabbed his side, and it immediately brought me back. And I turned to my wife, who happened to be staying there and doesn't care, but I'm going to tell her anyways because she was staying there. I was like, oh, that's an oblique injury. He's going to be out for 6 weeks, I think I said. It brought me back.
You were right. You were right.
I was in Anaheim. Now, I'm going to guess this was 2017. It's just a guess. It's one of these years. I think it was 2017. Maybe 2017, 20. It could have been 2014. I don't remember. But I was in Anaheim for work, and the Indians were playing, and I went to the game. Sat with our good friend Andrew Siciliano, friend of the pod, and Kipnis took a swing, immediately grabbed it. He made contact. He immediately grabbed his side, slowly jogged at first, came out of the game, and he was out for 2 months with an oblique strain. And as someone who has strained an oblique before, you can't do anything. I mean, it affects everything you do, and I don't swing a bat. It says 5 to 7 weeks. It's going to be 5 to 7 weeks. On top of that, it's not like he's just going to be back in 7 weeks and immediately be great again. He's going to have to find his timing, because during that time, he's not going to be swinging the bat. He's going to be, yeah. So it's, I would say next to Jose Ramirez, he was probably the most indispensable player on the team to lose. So now, you and I have been sitting and waiting for Owen Miller, but this was, and now he's here, and this is not the way we wanted him to be.
No. And to be quite honest, the Indians front office has failed when it comes to bringing these players up, because Owen Miller had a hot bat going for a while, and they just sat on it, and he was just raking at Columbus, which is great and everything. And I know it's early in the AAA season, but they should have brought him up then. They didn't. He goes 3 for his last 16 with Columbus, kind of first rough patch he had hit. The average was still around 400, but then they call him up Saturday night, and he's immediately thrust into the lineup on Sunday and sort of a, hey, we need you to DH, and not pick up the slack for Franmil, because that's hard to do, and that's hard to ask a 24-year-old who's never been in the bigs to do. And it just, you know, he went 0-for-5 yesterday. And he looked bad, to be quite honest. And look, it's one game. I'll be there tonight. Down at the corner of Montcalm and Witherell for Tribe and Unnamed, and I'll see it firsthand, and hopefully he'll get his first knock, and it'll be great. But at least yesterday he didn't look ready, and I don't know why he wasn't called up when he was hotter earlier. Daniel Johnson's now homered in 3 straight games. Bobby Bradley's kind of hitting the ball now. Bring them all up. Let's get them up here while they're hot, because quite honestly, this offense is still bad. I know they scored 5 runs yesterday, which was nice, and had a 3-run lead before the defense let Plesac down. But my goodness, I mean, how much longer with Yu Chang? How much longer with Jake Bowers? I mean, we have this discussion every week. It's a waste of time.
Well, I was, Brooke and I yesterday went to the Owen Miller debut. And you know, it's interesting. I'll come back to it. But anyways, I was there yesterday. His first at bat, he was like, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to swing at everything. He was so nervous. You could three pitches, and the third pitch was so far out of the zone that you could just tell that first at bat, he was a bundle of nerves. But it came back up around, and he was the winning run. He came up with a winning run on base in the bottom of the ninth with two outs. And I said, this is going to be it. This is going to be the storybook. He comes up, he gets a big hit to win the game in his first game after striking out in three of the, you know, his previous first three at bats. But it wasn't meant to be, unfortunately. But I want everyone to pump the brakes a little bit on him. And I know that you and I have been talking about him for weeks and how we wanted him up. And you're completely right. When he was 20 for 40, that was the time to bring him up, when he was riding the hot streak. And like you said, he was 3 for his last 16. He was struggling a bit. And I don't know. I mean, I understand what they were doing with him and what they're doing in Columbus. And I actually like it, because they're trying to find him a spot. They're trying to find these guys spots on the major league roster, and that's why they're moving them all around. But you texted me this weekend, it seems a little, you know, little league-ish.
It is.
Playing one
it,
day,
it doesn't
one day
seem a little playing. Little league. It is. This is ridiculous. Can we find some positions for these guys and stick with them? I mean, how's it working out when you got a Med Rosario one day in center, and then the next day it's short? He's a butcher. He can't play shortstop, but he's the best shortstop we have, because he's actually starting to hit. But defensively, it's a joke.
Well, our team defense is another topic that we need to discuss. But you know, Owen Miller played left field twice last week. He played first base twice. He played shortstop twice. And he played second base once in his last seven games. So, obviously, they've been moving him all around the diamond, because – He's more of a natural second base, and they asked him what he's most comfortable with, and he said second and third. You know, here's the problem.
Great.
He's not going to play second, and he's not going to play third.
No, those two guys play every day. Right, every day.
Jose Ramirez play every single day. So they're trying to find him a spot. You know, right now, it's a black hole at first base. Ahmed Rosario is starting to hit, so you can let's throw shortstop out. Center field is a black hole. Now you don't have Franmil Reyes. I don't like the idea of him DHing. I feel like he should be in the field. I don't know why. I think DH is a specialized role that these guys get into sometimes. I mean, I understand, like, the Indians should be utilizing now, with Franmil Reyes gone, they should be rotating guys in and out of the DH spot. They should one day DH Jose Ramirez. They should one day DH, you know, Cesar Hernandez. You know, just get these guys off their feet. Eddie Rosario, who's another thing I want to come back to. So this is wrapping me all around to this topic. Without Franmil Reyes, the best option, we knew that Owen Miller was going to come up, and we just, before Reyes got hurt, you and I just figured this would be the end of Yu Chang, and Miller would take that spot, and he would actually play. Now that he's gone, this opens up the DH spot to rotate guys around, but it also opens the DH spot for Bobby Bradley to finally get his chance. He hit three homers over the weekend, 2-1 game. And this would have been the perfect opportunity to bring him up. But instead, they added Kyle Nelson, another bullpen arm, and are carrying 9 or 10 relievers currently. 9? Is that right?
Yep.
And your bench is essentially Chang, who's terrible, Rene Rivera, 37-year-old journeyman backup catcher, and then whoever doesn't play in the outfield that day, you know, which is Luplo. It's a three-man bench. Give me something here. I mean, they had no options for pinch hitting except to bring up Naylor against the lefty, which was fine. You know, I like Naylor batting in the eighth, you know, in that spot in the eighth with two outs. But again, you had no options on the bench. Bobby Bradley, whatever. We've gone over this before. He did everything he had to do to make the team. He was better than Jake Bowers all spring. They've noted it, and he still can't get his chance. I don't understand. If now is not the time to bring
right,
up Bobby,
right. then when is? I mean, and I mean, you know, this, you know, there's some fans that tweet to me and say, "Well, it's service time. Service time." That's nothing to do with Owen Miller is 24, Bobby Bradley is 25 or 26. Yeah, your starting shortstop on opening day in March was a 22-year-old who'd never played at AAA. Tristan McKenzie was brought up and stayed up last year. There's nothing to do with service time. I mean,
no, and especially because we talked about this before, and I even heard, I think it was Daryl Ryder this morning on 92.3 talking about Owen Miller and the service time thing. Owen Miller's not some A-plus, top 50 prospect in baseball where they're holding him down to keep him an extra year. He's 24. It's the time is now. It's not like you said, it's not a service time issue. This is about bringing up the best players to give the team the best chance to win. And I just don't know if they're currently doing that.
Man, Todd with you, Dairy Brothers Tribecast on waitingfornextyear.com. Tigers in Detroit for four games with the unnamed team, who actually is playing better baseball as of late. I will be at three of those games, by the way, this week, including tonight. And then over the weekend, the Blue Jays come to town. We'll have all the pitching matchups for you. Yesterday's loss, 8-5 to the Twins. I'm sorry, but... You know, Minnesota is playing so bad, so poorly. And you said it yesterday on the text chain with Jeremy. It's like, Jay Happ? I mean, he should not have 7 or 8 strikeouts. I mean, the guy was so hittable. There were so many pitches that could have been driven. I know the Indians aren't having great luck these first couple of months with hard-hit balls, but my goodness, you know, leadoff guy at second base and then a grounder in the hole and Harold Ramirez runs to third. Like, what are you doing? It's ridiculous.
Right in front of him.
Right.
Like right just, in front of him.
You know, Luplo gets a bunt down, which we don't like bunting, but in that instance, it was a surprise play. It's a great play, ties the game. Then you've got your 5 and 6 hitters coming up with a chance to knock a run in and win the game against Robles, and you don't do it. I mean, you know, Eddie Rosario, geez, man, can you deliver once?
Let's get into it.
I mean, I love him. I do. I love the pickup, and I'm guilty. It was charged. I thought it was a steal, but... Maybe Minnesota knew something here, and teams knew something here because he's a mess at the plate, a mess.
When he came up with the was it the winning run on third or the tying run on third? It was the winning run, right?
Winning run on second.
It was the.
You talk about on the ninth yesterday.
Yes.
Winning run on second.
So the winning runs and Eddie comes up after the squeeze play, which by the way was a great play, and I heard Luplo after the game say it was kind of one of these things where he saw it. That if he could get it the right pitch to push it to the right side, it would work. And the safety squeeze was great. And the irony of this whole thing is the Indians are so offensively challenged that they needed essentially an infield single,
right.
A fly ball to move the runner to third.
Right, and then your cleanup
to get him in.
From your cleanup man, from your cleanup
right.
hitter.
Right. So Eddie came up. One out against his former team, and he swung at a pitch. And again, he's a bad ball hitter, and he swings the pitches out of the zone all the time. But to strike out on that pitch was so high and away, it was such a bad at bat. And it's been a microcosm of what we've seen from him. The only time he drives in runs, like yesterday, he had an RBI single in the first.
Right, but that was like
a slow ground ball, 17 hopper.
He's
not driving the ball. He's not hitting. We're not seeing, like, earlier in the year with Cesar Hernandez, he was hitting line shots at people. We're like, all right, he'll be fine. And if you've noticed,
he was hitting ropes.
They moved him. Yeah. Shooting ropes. So since they moved him up to the leadoff spot, he's found himself and he's really starting to hit the ball. Ahmed Rosario seems to be using more parts of the field that, you know, going the other way, which he wasn't doing earlier. You know, everyone's always so pull happy on this team. Ahmed is not, which has been good, and he's been better. But Eddie is, I don't know if he's trying too hard. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but without Franmil Reyes, he's got to deliver. And, you know, again, one game, small sample size, but he's just not driving the ball. And, you know, it's starting to get very frustrating because when I looked up at that lineup yesterday and And, you know, Eddie Rosario is a big name. But the bottom four of yesterday's lineup was Owen Miller making his major league debut, journeyman Harold Ramirez, Yu Chang, who stinks, and Austin Hedges, who
cannot
I know
hit.
He had two hits on Saturday.
Right,
and
that's his two for the weeks.
Exactly. For the week. But Hedges looks so bad at the plate. He's nowhere close.
By the way, you mentioned journeyman Harold Ramirez. I kind of like Harold Ramirez.
I do too, but that should be your fourth outfielder. He did go 2 for 5 yesterday.
I like him. He hits the ball hard. I don't know.
Handsome, hard-hitting Harold. He's up there cutting, man. There's no doubt about it.
Cutting and strutting?
Yeah.
By the way, I got this great text yesterday. So you're at the game with your daughter, and Brooke sends me these texts. I don't know. Does she has her own phone? Is that what's going on?
She does not have a phone, but she has a old phone that has Wi-Fi. You know.
Oh, okay.
So
she was loaded.
She brought it. She brings it to the game.
She had a loaded bazooka. She loaded bazooka yesterday, full of texts. She was like, "Why do you hate Rosario?" It's like first inning. She's texting, "Why do you hate Ahmed?" So then she gets a hit, and then she's like, that's your boy." I mean, she was on fire the whole game.
When he got his fourth hit,
I'm like, "How much of this is your dad feeding you?"
She literally said, she's like, "I'm going to text Uncle Matt."
Oh yeah, she was on fire yesterday.
It was
great. It was funny.
She's 11, and she's been going to games with me. For the listeners, she's been going to games with me since basically out of the womb, and she is the best to go with because she's into the game. Like in the ninth inning, she kept saying to me, "Oh my god, I'm so nervous, my heart is pounding." She's like, "Yo," like when Jose came up with the two on nobody out, she's like, "Let's go, J-Ram!" You know, like she's like into it.
Rosario hit the triple to cut it to 5-4, and then Jose struck out. And then I get it.
And we had the man on third
and no outs. I know.
Nobody outs and didn't score. That
so
was awesome.
I get a text from her when Luplo came up. I'm nervous for Luplo. How do I respond to that? I mean, it's just. It actually made the game. Yesterday's game was as bad as it gets. Like, that game sucked. Okay. But, like, it made it semi enjoyable because she was just. She was barraging me with texts. It was pretty funny.
We had a great time yesterday. And what was interesting was. She asked very pointed questions, and we were trying to, I don't know how we got on the subject, but the subject of payrolls comes up.
Oh, God.
And
how do you explain that to an 11-year-old?
Well, here's how I did it. And for all of you out there who have kids who are teaching them the game and want and they are curious about the economics of the sport, I said to her, here, in baseball, they do not have a salary cap. I said, in the NBA... In basketball and football, the teams are on even level playing fields because every team has the same amount of money to spend. I said, in baseball, it doesn't work that way. And she's like, well, why? And I said, well, that's a great question. I can't answer. But I said, look at it this way. The Yankees and the Dodgers are like your rich friend who's always going on vacation and the parents are driving Range Rovers and –
BMWs, and
the kids get anything they want and I said, and the Indians are essentially your friend who lives in the apartment on Chagrin Boulevard.
Oh my God.
But it's true. I mean, that's the best way to explain it.
Well,
and then she's like, and then she said, well, so like how much do the Indians get to spend? And I said, well, they can spend more, but they choose not to. And she said, well, why? And I was like, it's interesting.
Because Dolan's cheap, honey.
So when I told her, she was like, well, so like, what about how much do the Yankees spend? I said, okay, so the Yankees payroll is like $250 million, and the Indians is like $50 million. She's like, well, how's that fair? So I think we were having a conversation of
that's great.
Bringing up Owen Miller and playing the young players and that kind of stuff, and why Francisco Lindor no longer plays on the redacted ex shortstop no longer plays on the Indians. That's how we got on the topic. She wanted to know why we had to get rid of him, and I went into the payroll.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I think it's it really does. If you're talking to kids, sometimes it really does make things full of clarity. You know, it's like. man, you talk to kids that are interested in the game, and you try to explain it, and you go, the Dodgers are spending $250 million on their team, and the Indians are spending $50 million on their team. And you're right. It's like, how is that fair?
To compete at the same level in the same sport. I was like, that, I said to her, I said, that's why the Browns have the chance to be good, because in the NFL, we all have the same amount of money, and the Browns are the same as the, you know, Cowboys or the Rams or the Steelers or whatever, you know. So, but what makes it real for her is, you know, she's a public school kid. She has super rich friends and she has super poor friends. So, you know, so she see, you know, she's, you know, and everybody in between. So like for her, it clicked and she's like, oh, that really makes sense. But I think for people, that's a good way to describe it.
No, I think it is. And it kind of leads, to this topic of this tweet I put out yesterday, because obviously, I'm always advanced scouting. Plus, I watch a lot of unnamed team games because I live up here, and I despise them. So when especially when the Indians are off, it's always fun to turn on Bally's Sports Detroit and root against them. So yesterday, they had a 2-1 lead. Mize pitched really well, and the Indians are going to avoid him. And quite honestly, he's starting to come on, which you'd expect. He's the number one overall pick years ago. But so Michael Fulmer comes in to close. He's been very good for them. And gives up an infield hit to Whit Merrifield, who, of course, gets on base in a 2-1 game. And then Carlos Santana hits a bomb to right center. A walk-off 2-run homer. Kansas City beats Detroit 3-2 yesterday. So the Indians will face the unnamed team coming in. They had just lost 2 out of 3 to the Royals. So whatever. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm in the car, I'm like, you know, Carlos Santana should still be on the Indians. He was an Indian for life type. He left and came back. He's a leader. He's a veteran. And quite honestly, our first base position is a joke, right? But then all of the people that covered the unnamed team said, oh, here's, you know, in the wintertime, here's our list of possible free agent, you know, pickups for Detroit that would be in the Chris Illich budget, which isn't that big. We know about that. But anyway.
What is this, Tiger Talk? Let's go.
Anyway, Santana should either be in Detroit or Cleveland, to be quite honest, because they need him, because they're doing a rotation at first base, which is also pretty bad, including 50-year-old Miguel Cabrera, and then the Indians' first base spot. I mean, did the Indians have any kind of chance to match it when what's his nuts? The Royals owner, John Sherman, the Shermanator.
Yeah, he should be our own.
I was trying to say Snyder, but I thought of the Seahawks GM. But you know, Sherman, did we have a chance? Did we offer anything? I know he got 2 years and 17. Whatever it is, like he should be with us, or he should be. That would have been the perfect guy in Detroit. So that's why my tweet sort of had. But it's true, Todd. I mean, first base is so bad, and it's low budget and low rent when you're trotting out. You know, Franmil gets hurt, so you bring up Miller. You want to DH him for the first day to kind of give him a chance to get his bearings straight. I get what Tito said before the game. Let's ease this kid in. So then you have no other choice because Jay Happ is on the mound. They wanted to give Naylor a day off to play Yu Chang, who, quite honestly, has been buried for the last month. What do you expect him to do? You know, it's just disappointing.
He didn't get a hit in the first inning, and of course I was like, of course now, you know.
Well, with nobody on base, yeah.
But let me play devil's advocate on the Carlos Santana thing. I think that last year, now people forget because he was so great. In 2019, he was awesome.
Right, all-star.
But in 2020, for the 60-game season, he wasn't good. He was bad. He was bull-happy. You know, he looked cooked. He's 35. And the Royals offer him $17.5 million for 2 years. He probably couldn't. The agent probably got that offer and was like, oh, my God, get a pen quickly. Let's sign this before they change their mind. You and I talked about this in the offseason. I didn't know if he was going to get a major league contract with the way, you know, with everybody, you know, paring down their payrolls because of COVID. I thought maybe. You get 1 year and $5 million from someone, maybe.
But David, did we offer him anything at the major league level?
Let's say they offered him 1 year and $5 million, and he was like, "Okay, I'll look, and if I can come back to it, I'll come back to it." But let's see what else is out there. And then he got offered, you know, 17.5 for two. He had to take it. I don't blame him.
No, I don't either. I'm just kind of making a point.
I know. And I agree. Do I wish Carlos was on this team? Absolutely. I can't stand watching. Bowers, in Saturday's game, came up, and he struck out on three pitches. And it was a waste. It was the extra innings or the ninth inning. It was late in the game.
Yeah, it was late in the game.
I don't remember. And I remember I texted you and Jeremy. I was like, I cannot do this anymore. He's so fucking bad. And they are trying. How many more times am I going to
have to? I know.
How many more times do I have to watch Yu Chang and Jake Bowers play first base? It's an absolute fucking disgrace.
Right. Chopper to Chang at first. He's got the runner dead at home, bobbles it. So now we have to get an out at first base and the run score.
He's not a first baseman. He's playing first base regularly against lefties, and he's not a first baseman.
I know. That's on the organization, man. It really is.
Was I pissed that he bobbled that ball that it ended up costing us a run, which ended up essentially, in that five-run inning where, Cesar Hernandez forgot how to play second base and you bobbled that ball? Yes, I was pissed, but it's hard to get mad at him when it's not his fault because he shouldn't be out there. I mean, he's learning on the job, too. It's just very aggravating.
It's beyond aggravating.
Craig Lindell would say that wasn't very fun. He wants fun baseball. That wasn't very fun.
No, and they can't even turn a routine double play anymore. Cesar Hernandez all of a sudden has a bit of the yips at second, too, although he's usually very sure-handed and was a gold glover last year. He's the least of my worries. But, like, geez, can we turn a 6-4-3 once?
The 3-6-1 that... I'm in the dirt on Friday night to McKenzie's ankles.
Yeah. Now again, McKenzie didn't exactly make a great effort. We got to get into him too.
Blowing away. I mean, what was he going to do?
No, I knew. Well, it wasn't. Yes, but you do have to bend down. But again, that's easy for me to say. He's 6'5". But all right, let's get in.
You're 6'4".
I think I'm more. I think I'm shrinking because I think Jace, my son, now is taller than me, I think, or close, and he's got to be 6'3", so I might be 6'2½". I might be shrinking. I am 48 today, by the way, so.
Okay, so you blew it. I had a whole thing for your birthday, so if we're changing topics, well, first of all, before we go into your birthday, can I tell, did I ever tell the fake ID story on this podcast?
I don't think so.
So when you turned 21, and I was 18, and I went to college, I needed your driver's license because we look close enough. We look like brothers, but, back in the day when you needed a fake ID to get into a bar in college, so for people that don't know, Matt, it's his on his driver's license was 6'3", and I'm going to pull the Costanza, 5'8", 5'7", but really, I'm 5'7", 5'6". I took your driver's license to college. And it always worked because
it's real. It's real. Yeah, it's real.
130 pounds. And it was 6'3", 130 on the driver's license. So the one time I ever got stopped, I'll never forget it. I was at the bottleneck in Lawrence. And I go to the door, and the guy looks at my ID. He's like, "You're not 6'3". What, you really think this is going to work?" I was like, "It's supposed to say 5'3". I was like, "Who's 6'3", 130? And the guy's like, "All right, fine, go ahead."
Your brother was. That's hilarious.
Fun it is. All right, so let's do live reads, and then we'll do your birthday, and then we'll talk about Tristan McKenzie.
And the lineup that I have for tomorrow night's game at Comerica Park is gonna knock your socks off. We are bringing back an old favorite tomorrow night.
Chauncey. All right, well, hold on. Let's go. Sorry, go ahead.
That's all I'm. You're very warm. You're very warm.
Let's go live reads.
All right. So why don't you tell us about the Center for Advanced Dentistry? Jeremy is sending pictures out of Dr. Ben and Dr. Sean, like as regular rotation pictures in our group chat. So that's that should tell you all you need to know about how great they are.
If you could only see what goes on, especially over the weekend during the Dairy Brothers Tribecast text thread.
The Hilton Diamond Tribe Elite.
I had to do something to myself because Austin Hedges got a 2-out RBI single. There's photos of Dr. Sean Schlessel going around. Anyways, if you're looking, in all seriousness, I know people hate going to the dentist. I know when you go, you don't like that metal mouth taste. You know, you don't like getting the cleaning and the scraping and all that stuff. If you're looking for a dentist that when you go in there, they just relax you, and it's almost like you're not even at a dentist office. You're just visiting friends. Check out the Center for Advanced Dentistry in Beechwood over on Orange Place. It's just unbelievable. I have had the same hygienist, Sandy, for probably 20-plus years. She takes great care of me. They have, obviously more than just Sandy. Dr. Sean Schlessel has become partners with Dr. Ben Hornstein, America's greatest dentist, Dr. Ben Hornstein. And they have designed their practice to offer cutting-edge dental procedures and treatment options in that fun and stress-free environment. Honestly, perfection is their trademark. So is your overall health and happiness. And that's what matters most to them over at the Center for Advanced Dentistry. So check them out at cfad.net or give them a call at 216-595-1710. Tell them the Dairy Brothers sent you. And again, they're all about listening and understanding and making you get over your fears of being at the dentist and just taking care of your overall needs. So whether it's a full mouth makeover or just a routine checkup, please check them out, cfad.net, or give them a call, 216-595-1710.
Over the weekend, I was wearing my Styx Tristan McKenzie t-shirt that I got from BreakingTee.com. If you go to BreakingTee.com/dairy, you want the Jose Ramirez home run pitch shirt, the Bieber Fever shirt. Unfortunately, the new Franmil Reyes shirt is out, and he's hurt. But, hey, Wild Thing, the Karinchak shirt in blue, Tristan shirt in red, the Luplo t-shirt, any of the Tribe stuff, the Uncle Brian and the rest of the boys shirt, they're all there for you at BreakingTee.com. You want to wear cool stuff to games, stuff that's different. Maybe some of you don't want to wear the Chief Wahoo things anymore, and I get that. That's fine. So get your favorite player's gear there at BreakingTee.com. The Believe in Baker Brown Browns t-shirt is sweet. Go to BreakingTee.com/dairy, D-E-R-Y, and that gets you right to the Cleveland collection. So do that today. I'm not sure what I'm rocking tonight to the game, or even tomorrow, or even Thursday. But I'll probably have my Loop There It Is t-shirt, which I just got in. I got the Styx shirt. I got to get the home run pitch J-Ram one, the red one. Do you have that one, Todd? Because that's a sweet one. You do have that one or no?
I have the red home run pitch shirt. I have the Bieber Fever shirt, which I think is the best looking shirt of the bunch. And then I also have got the Uncle Brian and the rest of the boys t-shirt from the group that seems to be carrying this team, the bullpen. So, yep. Yeah, you know it, man. And you know me, I bought several other non-Cleveland-related Breaking Tee shirts. So you got to check them out, guys. Yep. They got everything you need.
Yep, BreakingTee.com. So breaking the letter T.com/dairy, D-E-R-Y. Go it takes you right to the Cleveland collection. Use that web link and enjoy yourself. Get some good stuff.
And use that code.
The code's gone for now.
It's gone?
For right now. We're doing a revision.
Oh, we're renegotiating? All right, well, then don't.
All right.
Pay full price. need your help over there at Breaking Tee.
All right, big news. All right, before we get to the pitching matchups and we talk about the actual pitching and who knows who's going to be pitching for this team outside of the big three, tonight I will be heading down to Comerica Park for game one of this four-game series. I'm in the wood shop seats tonight. Todd, you've been in those.
With great seats.
All right. So we'll be, in a good spot there. No names, please. No section, please. Myself, my wife, Mark, and my buddy Mark, and my buddy Dan Zeck.
Mark from Beechwood?
No, not Mark Breggy. Dan Zeck, he of Financial Architects, Inc., Dan Z, made the cut. He will be there, the former Albion pitcher. Then on Tuesday night, are you ready for this crew? Tuesday night, it'll be me. Albert Dale will be there.
Yes.
All right. The last time, now this is like my best friend here. Albert and I were in radio together. Albert is an engineer. He also does the Indians road games when the radio crew comes, but he won't work this week, so I don't think they're traveling, but at least not yet. Last time Albert and I were at Comerica Park at a game together in the stands was the Galarraga game.
Oh, yeah, Jason Donald broke up the perfect game that he was. You know, it's interesting now with replay, that would have been overturned and it would have been a perfect game.
Yeah, Jim Joyce game. I was there with my two kids and Albert. So last time we were at a game together, that happened. Also on the roster.
This one works out a little bit better.
Exactly. We better get more hits. Also on the roster for Tuesday night, Chauncey D. Williamson.
I called it.
How about that?
Was the last sporting event you went to with Chauncey the Brady Quinn versus Matthew Stafford?
Correct.
With me, you, and Jeremy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have not seen him in ages. His wife just had twins. He got married, the whole thing.
I'm sure the listeners wanted to know that.
Very important. The last time I saw him was with Robert Lee Parker. He of Deadspin and Fox fame. Anyway, so, and possibly my guy Chad Bush, but I don't know. So that's Tuesday. And Thursday, I'm contemplating going solo and sitting in the top of the stadium.
Like, what do you mean contemplating? Just do it. I go solo all the time.
Solo. It could be a solo day for me. Where
you know how many times I've gone to those Indians games, the afternoon games by myself for the last 10 years? I've done it a million times.
Maybe I'll go to the movies by myself.
Exactly. You know what's great? You go like podcast. Because, like, nobody has a radio anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't buy, like, you remember the, Mrs. Executive Producer still has one, by the way. She's the last one I know. Do you remember the little black square radio that mom and dad used to use?
Yeah.
Like, on their walks?
Yeah.
That was, like, the last one I ever remember.
Like a Walkman, but without the cassette thing.
Yeah, it was just, but it was like a square. And
yes,
it just
yes.
was AM, FM.
Yeah,
you can't get that anymore. And then if you want to listen to the game on your phone, it's behind the live action. So there's really no good way. So I've been doing game and podcasts in my ear.
I mean, Bieber's pitching. I kind of want to go. So I'll Wednesday. I mean, two.
You gotta go.
I can't go three nights in a row. That would be a little much. But I'll be there Monday, Tuesday, and
by
Thursday.
The way, shout out to our good friend Doug Spear, who lives in Atlanta. Went to the Pirates Braves game over the weekend.
Oh,
and
no.
The Pirates lost 20-1.
He was at the 20. He was at the 20 run game.
Yep. 20-1. And Friday night, the Indians and the Pirates lost by a combined score of 30-1.
Man. Mm-hmm. Brutal. All right. So we're going to go through the pitching matchups, and we have to ask the question, who's going to pitch on Wednesday? Like, Tristan McKenzie sent down. And let's get into this, Todd, because he should be.
Yep.
He's been a train wreck. And, you know, you hate to pick on a kid, and he's still so young, and I like him a lot. I have the T-shirt, okay? But, like, is he putting the work in 100%? Is he it's the same mistake. I say this not because I think he's lazy or that he's not a hard worker, but it's the same mistake, and it's the same issue every time out. You know, Logan Allen just lost it, and they had to send him down. It looked like a mental thing. With McKenzie, you know, you watched Carl Willis go to the mound, and it's the same stuff. You're opening up your front side. You're overthrowing. Like, now I think it's like, look, we tried to tell you, and you're not doing it, so you got to go down to AAA. And
I think, you know, one of the things that's interesting, I heard on the radio broadcast at some point when I was driving over the weekend, and it must have been Friday night because they were talking about McKenzie, and basically what, or maybe it was on the TV broadcast, I don't remember, but someone had said, most of these guys come back. Actually, they were talking about Carl Willis said, most of these guys come back in the offseason. They're like, okay, I've got a new pitch. And they said, McKenzie just came back and said, I don't have any new pitches because I need to work on my current arsenal needs to improve. So what's the main problem I see with him? Well, we talked about this. I think last week I said he had two starts left in him. It was like he was facing the two worst teams in the division. And this was his chance. He was either going to, you know, shit or get off the pot, as they say. So his velocity, you remember, he came up last year. He was throwing like 94, 95. And then by the end, he was in the 89, 90 range at the end of the year. So they moved him to the pen for the two-game playoff stint. This year, he still wasn't. His velocity, when you're losing velocity, it's probably not a good sign, but I'm not as concerned about anything other than he has to get stronger. He's so thin still.
Right. You got to hit the weight room.
And we also have to come back to the fact that he essentially didn't pitch for 2 years, made two starts, and then came up to the majors. So he's still a work in progress. He's only 23, and I think last year him coming up in that small sample size and looking good so fast was almost like counterproductive to his development, I guess.
He also came up throwing 98, and just that first start against Detroit was just blowing people away, and now the velocity's down.
Well, that's to my point. So also, when you're making starts and you're all over the zone and you're walking guys, you're not going to give your guys a chance to win. But let's go back to his last six starts, okay? He walked four against the Royals. He walked four against the White Sox. He walked four against the Yankees, four against the Reds, two against the White Sox, and four against the Royals again. And in none of those games did he pitch more than five innings. His best start this year was that the game against the Royals where he threw five scoreless, only allowed two hits, but walked four guys. He started the sixth and then walked two guys, so they took him out. You can't survive in the majors when you're basically averaging four walks per five innings, which was what he was doing. So, it's fine. You send him down. He's got things to work on. He'll be back. I'm not concerned about his long-term development. We've always known that he was going to have to get stronger, and he's just not. He's just not there. It just the issue is not McKenzie being bad. The issue is McKenzie's been bad. Logan Allen's been bad. Scott Moss just got hurt down in AAA. And Cal Quantrill's kind of found this role in the pen. He's not stretched out. Sam Hentges is already here, and he's so-so. So really, you're running out of options, which brings us to, and I will let you take it from here.
Well, no, I mean, Wednesday night, it appears that J.C. Mejia, who came up and pitched in relief the other night, which game
Friday
was that?
Night.
Friday night against the Twins, and we got blown out. It was 9-0, I think, when he came in. We'll get the opportunity, I would think. But again, what if Hentges tonight struggles and they got to go to the pen early? Who's going to come in? Because everybody got used yesterday.
I was going to say, the main issue is literally yesterday, nine relievers were used. But if you think about it, Kyle Nelson pitched like an inning in the third. Maton pitched one inning. Whitgren pitched one inning. Quantrill pitched one inning. Trevor Steffen pitched one inning. So
I forgot Whitgren. I forgot Whitgren was on the team when he came in yesterday.
It was funny. He was warming up. I'm thinking about the fifth or the sixth yesterday, or sixth or seventh yesterday. And I turned to Brooke and I was like, man, it feels like you remember at the beginning of this year, it was going to be Whitgren, Clase. They were talking about Whitgren closing.
Yeah.
And he's been really buried. I mean, because Brian Shaw has been so good and Brian Shaw has essentially taken his role. But Whitgren, is it like he's kind of buried there with Maton and Trevor Steffen a little bit? Which is interesting.
The pen's been really good, and they've saved them. And you look at the record and you say, all right, they're 24-20. They're a game and a half out of first place, thanks to the Yankees helping us this weekend with the White Sox.
Huge. And that's what sucks about losing yesterday. You'd be a half game out of first with that win.
Right. So you're in this thing. You're in this thing because of your bullpen. The starting pitching hasn't been that great. Shane Bieber, we haven't even brought it up, hasn't been that great for Bieber standards. Savali's been the best starter. The offense, second to last in the league in batting average, broken record. So how are we winning? We're winning because the bullpen has been really good, and they've gotten enough timely hits to be four over 500. But now with, Detroit and Toronto coming in, or Detroit on the road, Toronto at home, you got to take advantage. You can't go 3-3 against the Angels and Twins. You got to do better than that, and that's what they did this past week.
Yeah, absolutely. But you also can't keep – these starters can't keep forcing Tito to go to the bullpen in the fifth inning every game. And even yesterday, Plesac, okay, he was perfect for three innings, and he's been great lately. So, listen, he had a bad start, but in the fourth inning, he ended up giving up five hits. It really should have been two errors, but because Chang's bobble, he picked it up and tapped first. He didn't get charged for an error, but he fell apart. He didn't come out. He didn't even make it out of the fourth.
No.
Because it was so bad. So that was that was not great when, you know, you're hoping that police act will get you at least six because you know tomorrow, which is now Monday, today, you got Henches going where I don't think Sam's been gotten past five innings yet. In fact, I know he hasn't. So, you know, you lean on this bullpen so heavily that they've been so good, but how long is that going to last?
And Henches had issues with the Angels this week, last week, because they're all right-handed hitters, and that's what he's going to face tonight. You know, he's going to face...
Yeah, but the Angels' right-handed bats...
Right. Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon. Different. It's a little bit better than Robbie Grossman, but still. So we'll see how he does tonight. I hope tonight is one of those nights where the team hasn't seen him before, and he can keep the ball in the ballpark, and it's a big ballpark. So that's the hope, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, you know, when Miller came up Sunday, I thought there'd be more of a cavalry coming up the turnpike from Toledo where the Clippers were playing, and there wasn't. So now you're right. You've got an overabundance of relievers.
Yeah.
And it looks like J.C. Mejia will start Wednesday. That would be my guess.
I think that it has to be. And here's the other thing to keep in mind. Monday, a week from today, you got a doubleheader.
Yeah, against the White Sox.
With the White Sox. And if I'm correct, it's going to be Mejia lined up to pitch one of those games.
It is.
So, I mean, whoever is going to come up is going to be, you know, when they add the extra guy for the doubleheader, will be a pitcher for sure. And probably someone who can give you at least two or three innings. They're going to have to do it. So,
yeah.
Why don't you get into the pitching matchup so then we can close with your birthday.
All right. So tonight in Detroit, Sam Henches for the Indians. Spencer Turnbull, fresh off his no-hitter, will pitch for the Tigers tonight. So that ought to be interesting. We can't hit. He didn't allow a hit the last time.
Wait to hear Underwood talk about Johnny Vandermeer again.
There's an old bit. Tuesday, Aaron Civale against Tarek Skubal, the rookie left-hander.
Weird, by the way, not to cut you off, but this will be the second time the Indians are facing a pitcher who pitched a no-hitter the previous time out.
That's right. Carlos Rodon.
How does that happen this season?
I assume Mejia for the Indians on Wednesday against Jose Ureña, the right-hander, has actually not been bad. Better than I thought he'd be. And then Thursday, Shane Bieber, opening day rematch, Shane Bieber and Matthew Boyd. So that's two lefties in that series. Then over the weekend...
Yu Chang will probably stay here for another four weeks.
Sweet. So... Friday, Zach Plesac against Hyunjin Ryu, the former Dodger starter, is pitching for the Blue Jays now.
Member of 10% capacity.
Lefty, there you go. Sam Henches on Saturday against Ross Stripling. It's like former Dodger week.
Right.
And then Aaron Civale against Steven Matz. So, Todd, that's seven games with four of the seven are against lefties.
Yeah.
Big trouble.
No wonder. There's no way Bobby Bradley's coming up for Chang this week. If there's that many lefties.
Four lefties.
Why is it just me, or is this year we face more lefties than we...
We don't have any. Tell me any other team in baseball doesn't have one single left-hander on their staff. We have zero. Is there anybody else?
What are you talking about?
What's that?
Sam and Kyle Nelson, dude.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sam's lefty. Oh, geez, that's horrible by me. But at one point we had zero.
Usually we have zero. Yes.
At one point we had none. That's right. Yeah. When McKenzie was up and when Logan Allen had gone down and Oliver Perez was DFA'd. By the way, did anybody pick him up?
No.
Man, that's sad. I love that old man.
Love that man.
All right, so that's all I got. So I don't know what you want to say about my birthday. I hope it's short and we can move along here. But that's it for the week. Hopefully I can bring home some winners this week.
So today is your 48th birthday.
Yes.
Do you know? Well, I know you know the answer. Also turning 48 today, all-time Tribe great, an all-time favorite of many baseball fans.
Yes.
Fats Bartolo Colon.
I believe he's 48.
Exact birthday. Yeah. Same exact birthday as you to the day, which is kind of cool. So Bartolo turns 48. Other famous. So our running joke forever, created by our cousin Steve, is And this goes back to when I was probably 20.
I know the first one you're going to mention.
So every year, Cousin Steve would always call, and like, let's say I would turn 32, and I'd say, Steve, what's going on? He's like, you know, the best thing about being 32 is Jim Brown all year long. Or when you're 33, Kareem. He called me, and he goes, when on his 33rd birthday, when I wished him happy birthday, he's like, I'm Kareem all year long. Drop the skylights on your ass. So, yes. So here are some 48s for you. Obviously, Emmanuel Class A all year long.
Take it.
Torrey Hunter all year long. Jacob DeGrom. Lee Smith. And former Redskin running back Steven Davis, 48. But I couldn't think of a good Brown. The only
what?
Brown I could think of,
come on,
48, was Brian Washington.
What about D.D. Hoggard?
Oh, D.D. Hoggard was
48. That's where I thought you were going to go. The all great right. special teamer.
I didn't have D.D. Hoggard, special teams ace on the 86 team. But yeah, Brian Washington, he played safety for 1 year.
He was really good. He was good.
Nebraska.
He was good.
Okay, so for the close, how many number 48s of the Indians can you name from 1986 to now without cheating?
Number 48?
There's a real easy. I mean, one's very, very easy. The rest are really easy.
Ross Grimsley 48?
You mean Jason Grimsley? Yes, he was in 1993. And 94 and 95. Very good.
All right. Did I say Ross? Okay. Jason Grimsley was 48.
Who's Ross Grimsley?
He was a left-hander, too, that the Indians had. He might.
Oh, yeah. Jason
Grimsley. Travis Hafner, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy.
That was the easy one. The other ones.
Other number four, Class A, Hafner, Jason Grimsley, number 48. Probably some pitchers.
It's basically all pitchers. I'm going to give you the best.
Was Paul Rigdon number 48?
Paul Rigdon.
Rigdon?
No, he was not.
No?
Paul Rigdon was good for about five starts, right?
48. Man. All right.
I'm going to give you the best of the best.
Okay. Yeah.
1986, Dickie Knowles. 1987, Jeff Kaiser Wilhelm. Ted Power.
Oh, my gosh. Great call.
Grimsley. 96, he had one great at bat. Nigel Wilson hit a grand slam against the Angels
in
96.
Amazing.
Right?
Great call.
Yeah. Chris Haney. In 99, served up the Wade Boggs' 3,000th hit, which was a grand slam.
The lefty.
Jerry Spradlandies.
Woo, baby, that's good.
Jose Santiago in 2003.
Oh, my God.
And then you had Hafner basically all the way up until 12. Atchison, old man Atch.
Oh, I should have had that one. Yeah.
And then the last 48, the last two 48s, one of my least favorite all-time Indians. I hated him when we signed him, and I still can't believe I saw he's back in the majors. Tommy Hunter. God, did I hate that.
Yeah, you did hate him. You had that pinned tweet for a while.
Yes, I did. I said, I'm living in a world where Donald Trump is president, and someone gave Tommy Hunter $9 million.
That's right.
And then the last 48 before Emmanuel Class A, we signed him in 2017. You and I thought this was going to be a great addition to the bullpen, and he was hurt the entire year.
Oh, man. That was 2017?
Yes, 2017. We made two free agent signings. This guy and Edwin.
And we thought he was going to be really good?
He was a very good reliever, and then he got hurt for us, and I don't think he was ever good again.
Is he still in the game?
No.
2017 reliever.
Lefty
reliever that we thought was going to be good?
He was going to be the second lefty in the pen, yeah, with Miller. It's going to be Miller and this guy. And it's going to be incredible.
No, I'm drawing a blank.
Boone Logan.
Oh, yeah, Boone Logan. Good call. All right.
There you go. So happy 48th birthday, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. Hopefully we'll get some wins this week, and I'll enjoy the day. But there it is, another Dairy Brothers Tribecast. We went 54 minutes. And that will include one edit where you muted yourself that I got to get rid of.
My bad.
People won't know. Now they will. All right, buddy. Dairy Brothers Tribecast. Good stuff. Go Tribe. Hopefully a big week ahead in Detroit and then back home. When are you going this weekend, by the way?
Big. I got big ones coming up. Friday night, Sunday, and the doubleheader Monday.
Perfect.
And Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh.
That'll be 1, 2, 4, 5, 6. Six games I'll be at in five days. Six games in 5 days coming up next week.
We're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Breaking Tea T-shirts, and you can find us at waitingfornextyear.com and wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you next week.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.